Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and I am here with my dad, Dr. Vanderpool, to talk about some really exciting stuff. So as some of y'all may know, I am now living back in the States full time. I lived in Haiti for a little over 2 years. And so I, for one, am really excited about this series that we are going to do. And it is talking about how to live missionally, no matter where you are. So, Dad, thank you for coming up with this idea that we get to talk about it and that you're here. And I'm just so excited.
This is fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of made you start thinking about this idea, how to live missionally and sharing that with anyone?
You know, that's a great question. You know, we have brought 6,000 or 8,000 people down on short-term missions throughout the years to Haiti. And a question we get a lot is, you know, this was a great mission trip. I felt like I was really serving the Lord, but now I'm going home. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the reason that we started thinking about how would we answer that question?
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. So how do we answer that question? Where do we start?
That's a really great question. So, you know, we have thought about it from a lifestyle type aspect. So rather than talking about a short-term mission, you take a week off from work, you know, you go to Haiti and, you know, you work building houses or maybe feeding people or taking care of the poor in some way. But to transfer that from a one-week experience into a lifestyle type experience. And so rather than having it be the exception, one week out of 52, right, let's make it every day of the year and that we would then live missionally. And that's the concept that we would like to talk about is how can we live missionally? You know, if we go to another country, it's a low-tier country like Haiti. You know, it's easy. Honestly, it's easy to live missionally because there is so much poverty. There's so much oppression. There's so few people who really know the Lord. And so it's easy for us to come up with ways to relieve this oppression. Every day we can work in that. And you saw that when you lived in Haiti for 2.5 years. And so, but what do we do when we come home? Because here we are in the world's richest country, the richest country that the world has ever known, in fact, where poverty relative to Haiti is just non-existent, doesn't have anything like that. So now what do we do? We get home, we're in our comfortable familiar environment, and how do we decide to live missionally?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're in Haiti, the poverty kind of slaps you in the face. You know, it's everywhere you look. You see it in children who are malnourished. You see it in pregnant women who, you know, have a very difficult time carrying their child to term. You see it in the homes, you see it in the dirty water, you see it just everywhere. But when you're in the United States, you know, it's a lot harder to see because it's more of a poverty in spirit. It's a poor in spirit. And so, you know, I just think that this series is awesome that you're really having to open your eyes and say, like, Jesus is needed everywhere. People need to have grace extended to them everywhere. People need help everywhere. You know, in the United States, it's just going to look a little bit different. And so I just think that this is such an awesome series of having these practical foundations that you can learn from short-term missions, but just not being satisfied, like you said, of it just being for 1 week out of the year. But instead, you know, how do I let this transform my mindset into seeking out people that I can be Jesus to? And it's not this, you know, I have to be your savior. It's not swooping in and trying to save the day, but instead saying, like, I know the savior, and how do I not share that and not extend that grace to everyone? And so I think that this is going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, you know, just the understanding, the scriptural understanding, I think that is so important is to see what Jesus does. And so, you know, when we're defining living missionally, obviously Jesus is the guide for us. He's the lodestar. He is the true north that we're going to define, you know, our lives by. And there's a scripture that I just absolutely love, and that's Acts 10:38, and it describes what Jesus did. And just this part of Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. And that was his day-to-day life. He got up every day. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And that is just an amazing thought. And so when we're talking about living missionally, we want to take this Acts 10:38 structure and try to fit ourselves into it. Mm-hmm. It's easy to see Jesus fitting into this, but as you know, as Jesus followers, we need to fit into this as well. So when we're defining living missionally, we want to think about how Jesus went about doing good and healed all who were under the oppression of the devil, because God was with him. I'd like to, for us all to be able to put our own names in there. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking at ourselves, we want to say, you know, how did David go about doing good and healing those under the tyranny of the devil? How did that work? How did I do that on a day-to-day basis? And that's what we'd like to talk about today.
If we're just willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus, well, wow, what an incredible opportunity that is. So I love that that's kind of the foundation verse that you have for this.
Absolutely. And, you know, a couple of things that I want to point out with this verse that I think is just very important is, you know, we are called to preach the gospel. So I don't want to minimize that. But let's look at this verse, because it says Jesus went about doing good and healing those who are oppressed by the devil. So he was going around, the way he was able to make this this daily missional living was about going about doing good and healing people. And that's the kind of thing that I'd like to emphasize. Obviously, we're called to preach, but like you said, those are awkward situations. But there's no such thing as an awkward situation when you're doing good.
Right.
Either if somebody with a need and you're fulfilling that need, that is a great way to go about teaching people about the gospel.
That's beautiful. That's really, really beautiful. So how do we go about doing good? You know, what does that look like? I think, you know, I'm such a practical person that sometimes I want someone to take a whiteboard and be like, step one, go do this. So what do those kinds of things look like?
Well, I think that's a great question. And one of the things that's so important is to completely understand that God lets us do this. This is something that God teaches us, that God develops in us. It's not something that we can just gut it out and make it happen. And so that's one of the things. If you try to just do it on your own power, you're going to fail miserably, because this is all about the power of God. And so God deserves all the credit. So the first thing that we've got to do is we need to ask God to develop this in us.
Yeah.
Because it's his power. You know, he in the Holy Spirit gives gifts as he wills, basically, is the way the scripture says. And so we need to ask God to give us this mindset. You know, we have a part in this as well, because sometimes our attitudes and our approaches to things will really inhibit our ability to do good on a regular basis. And so the way I think about this is, after we've asked God to instill this in us, we need to develop the attitude of giving life. And it really is an approach to life. Now, Jesus had this attitude. That was the way he approached life. One of my favorite scriptures is John 10:10. And it's just a wonderful part, a wonderful scripture. The second part says, Jesus came so that we might have life and have it in abundance. And so the reason Jesus came to the world for a lot of different reasons, right? But one of the reasons he came to this world was to give us life and to give it abundantly. So he had that attitude of giving life. And that's the kind of thing that we need to emulate in Jesus' life, is to have the attitude of giving life. When we have this attitude, then it's amazing how our eyes are opened to the world of need, that there are so many people in the United States, in Africa, in Haiti, lots of different places, so many people who have extreme needs, most of which we can fill, especially with the power of God in us. And so having this attitude of being a life giver, it completely upends the way we usually go about things. You know, most of us are selfish, you know, and we look out for our own good. We are all about number one, right? I mean, we're taught that on TV and in marketing and things like that. But that is completely opposite of what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Giving life to others means that we are others focused, that we're always thinking about what can we do for someone else, not what our needs are, not what our needs need to be fulfilled, but we're thinking about others. And so developing that attitude of giving life, I think, is really important. And, you know, one of the things about this scripture that I love so much is it really has two parts. It says that Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly, right? It's almost like there's two separate pieces here, you know? and so I love thinking about that, that, you know, how can we give life to people? If there are people who are hungry, we can feed them, right? We can provide them with food. If there are people who need jobs, we can provide them with jobs. If there are people who don't have clean water to drink, we can provide clean water. That's giving life. Giving abundant life is the whole gospel story of how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that all who believe in him will be saved. And that's the abundance that we can give, especially when we're giving those basic necessities of life that everybody needs.
I think that's so beautiful. And I think, you know, one of the things that is such a shame is, I think if you had asked most non-Christian people, what are your thoughts of Christians? It's not that they give life and they give life abundantly. What a shame. We don't look like Jesus. And my favorite verse is John 13:35. And it says, "And by this, all people will know you are my disciples because of the love that you have for one another." And, you know, then there's the quote that oftentimes, I actually don't know who it's from, it's oftentimes attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, is share the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. You know, it's this, you're giving life, you're loving people, you're pouring into them, you're going above and beyond what is called of you, you're seeing their needs, whether that's emotional or physical or spiritual. You know, you're seeing this, and that's not how we're being viewed. And that is heartbreaking to me, because this is not just a reflection on me, Jacqueline. That's a reflection on Jesus. And right. I want to be a mirror of Jesus's grace and mercy. And instead, if it's a window into the depravity of my soul, that's not giving God glory. And right. So, I just love that this is such a pivotal turn and such an antithesis of how Christians are being viewed nowadays, because I think that this is something we've got to learn and got to change, because this gives God glory. So how do we develop this attitude of giving life? How do we, you know, because it has to start somewhere. It has to start in your mind and then flow out of your spirit. And so where does that start?
I think that's a great question. And, you know, like we said, the first thing to do is to ask God for it. Mm-hmm. He gives us this in abundance. He wants us to have this. He will answer our prayers that are according to his will.
Right.
This is according to his will. So yeah. It's a freebie, right? So we ask God for this and ask him for it daily. You know, one of the things that I think is so important, it's easy. Human beings are so adaptable. We get into a situation and we adapt to that situation and we forget our previous situation.
Right.
We may have had a terrible, you know, life or something previously, and we adapt to a new life and we've just sort of forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us forget the depth of our lostness that we had before we became a believer, that we were totally lost. Like you mentioned, we were depraved. We had no goodness in us at all. Jesus came into our lives and were transformed. Mm-hmm. Well, it's easy to think, well, we've always been that way. Nah, we haven't always.
Check that box, move on.
That's right. And I think that is one thing. I don't think we need to just focus on our previous life. I don't mean that. But we can't forget how lost we were, how far down we were. Because if we take, this is a little math equation here, right?
Oh, so
if we
take
how lost we were.
You already lost me. My lostness is showing.
Okay. No calculus here. But you know, if we take how lost we were, we take where we are now, where God has brought us to, the things he's transformed our lives. We've been cleansed of sin. We are saved. We are God's people. We are sons and daughters of the King. We take that difference. So you subtract the lostness from where you are now, and you get this enormous, you know, difference. Enormous difference. That is the difference that will motivate us to go out and want to give life and abundant life to others. If we forget, or we think, nah, I mean, I wasn't that bad, right? Yeah. If we have that attitude of, well, there's just a little bitty difference. I mean, I wasn't that bad. I never killed anybody, right? If we have that attitude, we'll never see how much there is to give to people, what life really means. And I think a lot of us miss that we miss that piece, that we were hugely transformed. How could we keep that to ourselves?
Right.
And so that would be sort of our motivation to develop this attitude of life, of giving life. You know, the other thing though, Jesus was our model. He's just an absolutely perfect model for us. And so let's think about what he did. Here he was in heaven, right? He lived behind the pearly gates, the streets of gold, all that kind of thing. He was completely protected from any harm. There was nobody who could harm him. He was in the presence of God. He was one of the Trinity. I mean, he was the one that created the earth. I mean, he created mankind. And he had this, he had all the wealth in the universe, right? Mm-hmm. And he loved us so much in our lostness. I mean, in our depravity, in our awfulness, in our awful sin, he loved us so much that he left his riches, he left his security, he left his family, right? He left his power, and he became a poor man. He lived as a poor man. Didn't have a house, didn't have a pillow. He didn't have the things that he left. And he did that not because we were really good people and he just couldn't wait to be with us. He did it because we were really bad people and he wanted to give us life, right?
Yeah. So
we weren't lovable and yet he loved us, right? Mm,
that's
and
good.
Having that model, and we say, well, okay, you know, I'm an American. We live in such a fabulous, fabulous society. I mean, we have problems here. They're not even close to what most of the world is like. We have far more money. We have far more affluence. We have obviously way too much food because most of us are eating way too much. We have clean water. We have electricity. We have all of this stuff that we just take for granted, where you go to a Haiti or to parts of Africa and people don't have clean water and children are dying. Mothers are dying in childbirth. So we have all of this stuff. So leaving, sacrificing, like Jesus did, sacrificing this amazing affluence, this amazing just amount of stuff that we have so that others can have life, I think is a great first step for loving people, because we need to love the people who are oppressed, just like Jesus loved us. And oftentimes it's messy. Oftentimes, you know, it's sort of, you think, my goodness, this is mess. Well, that's the same thing Jesus thought, you know. Yeah. He's got down here and thought, my goodness, this is really messed up. And yet he still loved us. So taking that love that Jesus showed us and showing that to broken people, showing that to people who are messed up. They're, you know, they're not going through life in a proper manner. Showing them that love, developing that attitude of giving them life, I think is so important.
Well, and what a beautiful mystery of the kingdom, that those people that we can look at and think like, oof, you're kind of hard to love. You know, you're making this difficult for me. They're the ones that become the joy set before you.
You know, another thing I think is so important that Jesus modeled, you know, he had this life-giving attitude that he went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed of the devil. He had this because of the deep well of righteousness that he had. He had this tremendous righteousness before, never sinned. He never did anything that was against God's plan. He always walked in lockstep with the Father. And so he has this tremendous righteousness that he used as the wellspring to be able to give life to other people. And we say, well, I'm not righteous. What am I going to use? I don't have this wellspring. Not true. We absolutely do. He has given us access to his righteousness. Mm-hmm. He has made us, he has made me, he has made you, he's made anybody listening, the righteousness of God, right? Mm-hmm. So we're able to tap into that same righteousness that he tapped into that gave life to people who were oppressed. And so pursuing that righteousness, and I think this is a really, it's a difficult concept. You know, Matthew 6:33 talks about that if we pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. That pursuit is a very important word. It's something we have to get up every morning and we chase after it. Mm. It's not something that just drops into our lap. A lot of people think, well, you know, God just gives me everything, so I just sort of sit back and enjoy it. That's not what the word pursuit means. Pursuit means that you are getting up and you are running hard and fast after God every single day, and you're pursuing his righteousness. That's the only way that we are able to grasp God. That's why he says, knock, and the door will be opened. He doesn't say, walk up to the door, and it's going to open. It's not an automatic door opener like at the grocery store, right? You've got to knock, right? He says, ask, and you shall receive. He doesn't just say, sit there and look at me, and you'll receive. He says, ask, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And so, you know, we've got to pursue God. You know, we know how to pursue a lot of different things, right? Mm-hmm. We pursue wealth. We know how to pursue wealth. You get a degree, you go and on Wall Street, you become a hedge fund manager, whatever that is. You become a successful doctor, a successful attorney. We know how to pursue wealth. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how to pursue getting our bodies in shape. You know, right. We know the latest diet, we know the latest exercise plan, and many of us will pursue that long and hard. But pursuing God's righteousness sometimes becomes a little bit of a conundrum for folks. And so I want to encourage everybody to pursue this righteousness, because this is the strength that you're going to be drawing from to be able to give life and give life abundantly. You know, so I think, you know, number one, we've got to love people in their brokenness. Mm-hmm. That's the attitude of giving life. Number two, we have to pursue the righteousness of God. And that's the well that we draw from. Lastly, we've got to be understanding that this will cause difficulty. This will cause afflictions. This will cause suffering. Colossians 1:24 is such a fascinating scripture to me. Paul is saying, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is the church. There's some sense that the sufferings that are needed for the body, that is the church, have not been completed in Jesus, that he left some for us, right? Mm-hmm. Paul is saying he's rejoicing in his sufferings because he's completing the sufferings of Jesus. And this is the kind of thing that we will find. We will find if we are pursuing the attitude of giving life, we are pursuing this life of missional living, there's going to be sufferings.
Yeah.
There's going to be afflictions. There's a cost to it. Mm-hmm. Now, on the one hand, it's sufferings. It hurts. There's pain involved. On the other hand, it's infinitely worth it. Just like Jesus said, you know, he was glad. He rejoiced in his sufferings on the cross to be able to bring men and women to him in salvation. It's going to be the same way with us.
Right.
If we are out living a life missionally where we are going about doing good and healing people of the tyranny of the devil, we're going to suffer.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. We have to be okay with that. Not only just okay with it, we need to be able to rejoice in it. Mm-hmm. And that's the tough part. It really is tough. I know as a long-term missionary in Haiti, we have suffered a tremendous amount. It's just amazing how much we've suffered physically and emotionally and mentally. And it's worth it. It's the kind of thing that we look at and say, you know, the Lord's work's being done. It hurts. It doesn't make it hurt less. That's sort of one of the points, is it still hurts. But when you're attacked, when you're beaten, when you're kidnapped, you know, when your base manager's murdered, there's pain. There's pain to that. When your wife is kidnapped and beaten, it hurts. But we know that this is for the cause of Christ. And so we rejoice. I'm not very good at that piece. I have to admit, the rejoicing part, I still got some ways to go on that, but I'm working on it.
We'll pray for you.
That's right. I need prayer. Young men are a little ticked off about some of that stuff.
Help them rejoice in that suffering.
That's right. But that's what we're called to, is to rejoice in our suffering.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first step. These are the first steps of living missionally.
My question for you is, as someone who has suffered enormously, has it been a blessing?
You know, it really has. And it's amazing, because that suffering has a purification element to it. And, you know, you never know you need to be purified until you're purified, right? You always think you're pretty good until you go through a wash and repeat cycle. And then you realize, oh yeah, I wasn't too hot.
There's some nasty deep stains there.
Exactly. I think that's what suffering does, you know, it shows us that we have a ways to go, but that joins us to Jesus. That's the way that we can be joined to him, because we are willfully suffering. It's not like we're suffering for doing wrong. Right. We're suffering for doing right. And it's willful. And we entered it eyes open, you know, not knowing the details, but knowing it was going to be hard. And so I think that it's a wonderful way to just keep on that path of righteousness and toward the end. So it's
absolutely
a good thing.
Before we wrap up, you got a book.
That's right. It's
good.
We have a book out now that talks a lot about missional living. It's Live Beyond. It's a call to surrender and serve. And it talks about our long-term missionary efforts and then some of the previous short-term efforts as well. And so I'd love for you to go to our website. It will connect you over to buy the book and get the book, and hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think about it.
Absolutely fantastic. You can, again, go online to livebeyond.org. You can find it on Amazon and truly, truly check it out, because it's absolutely wonderful. If you are interested in learning a little bit more about Live Beyond and what we do, again, go check us out at livebeyond.org. But thank you so much for joining me today, Dad. I thought that was incredible and timely and just a great lesson. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's great being here.
Thank you so much. And don't forget to go out and live beyond.